We're going to look at a chapter in Proverbs, chapter 7. I did this as a sermon several years ago, and it's such a good story. And I thought everything that's going on in the world today that it might refresh our minds as to some of the things that we need to do. And it's a story actually about a harlot. But as we look at this, I want you to look at it. The first five verses talks about someone looking out their window. And I want you to look at that as God looking out his window. And then the middle portion talks about a young man being seduced by a woman. And I want to look at that as Satan seducing us. And then the end talks about how he lost his life because of it, and then reiterates what needs to be done. So that it's kind of a three-part thing. It's it's a story that I think we can relate to in our lives, and especially with things that are going on today. Bruce mentioned what's going on in Ukraine. We've had turmoil in this country and continue to have it, and we probably will continue to have it for some time. It's been going on for a long time now. We've been fighting this virus for a couple years. Things get in and enter into our minds and into our lives, and it causes us, and we talked about it in class this morning a little bit, it causes us sometimes to question where we really are. Where is our faith really at, and how easy are we distracted away from God? And this story kind of tells of this person that got distracted away from God. What happens? So let's start. We'll take a look at starting verse 1, chapter 7 of Proverbs. And remember, now this is, I want you to look at this as God looking out his window at us. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from immoral women, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Now, there's a whole bunch of instruction here as we look at and portraying this as God looking out his window with instruction to us as we walk out into the world. He says, treasure my commands within you. Abide by what he tells us to do. Keep my law as the apple of your eye. We have a saying, a granddaughter or a child, they're the apple of my eye. They're the pride of your life. They're what you live for. Bind them on your fingers like you would a ring. It won't fall off. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Engrave them inside you. Remember God's commands. Remember what God has to say to us and how we're supposed to live. And then it says, say to wisdom, you're my sister. You and I are partners in crime, if you will. Grab a hold of it. And call understanding your nearest kin. Grab a hold of this understanding and wisdom. And why do you need to do that? That they may keep you from the immoral woman. Now again, I want you to look at this immoral woman as being Satan. From the seductress who flatters with her words. And you know as well as I do, as we walk out into the everyday world, every day, something's grabbing at us. That's Satan working in our lives. That's Satan trying to grab you away from the instruction that we're seeing here in these first five verses. Now let's get into the story of what happens. For at the window of my house, this God looking out again, I looked through my lattice. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. And what did he just tell us about understanding? Keep that understanding in yourself as you would your nearest kin. Keep a hold of it. Well, this young man, or us, if you will, are devoid of that understanding. We're just passing along the street, not a care in the world, walking down the street, and now you're near her corner. He took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. When does sin normally happen? It happens all the time, but it seems to be more prevalent in darkness. You don't see very many people walking into somebody's house and rob it during the day. You don't see a lot of murders occurring during the day. It happens at night. This is happening at night. Now, here's a young man, or here's us, we're just walking down the street, just strolling along, not a care in the world, nothing, don't understand a thing about God, nothing going on, and all of a sudden, out jumps Satan. He takes this path to Satan's house in the twilight and evening, in the black and dark night. Now, what happens now? In verse 10, it says, "Then there was a woman that met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart." Is that not Satan? He's as crafty a person as there is out there. He and his army know what they're doing. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet wouldn't stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Satan lurking at every corner. Now again, we're just walking down the street. We're strolling by this house. So what'd she do now? In verse 13 it says she caught him and kissed him. Grabbed a hold of him. With an impudent face, she said to him, now here comes the desire into human life. "I have peace offerings with me." Well, that sounds good, right? "Today I have paid my vows. So I come out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And guess what? I found you. Now, what have I done to get you to really buy into what I'm doing? I've spread my bed with tapestry. I've colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love." So here, this sin that he's about to enter into has everything that appears to the senses. She's hitting with the ears. She's loud. She's rebellious. She's forthcoming. She stands outside. She's in the open. She lurks at every corner. She caught him and she kissed him. Now, she comes at him with looks. Here's the eyes. "I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I've made it look really good to you." Doesn't Satan do the same thing? He talks to us. He comes at us with things that we shouldn't be listening to, things that we hear that we should have clear out of our lives. And all of a sudden it comes in, and now he's got it looking really good to us. Not a care in the world now. We're just strolling down the street. And then he gets to the nose, and it makes everything smell good. So you're hearing good things. You're seeing good things. You're smelling good things. And if you don't have what God said in these first five verses, what happens? Well, "Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love." They've got nothing going. Just come on in. Nothing's going to happen. You're okay. "For my husband isn't at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taking a bag of money with him. And he'll come home on the appointed day." Or next full moon, as some read. "So, come on in, son. There's no problems. There's no worries. Things sound good. Things look good. Things smell good. I don't have any cares in the world. I'm devoid of understanding." So you think, why not? And that's the way Satan gets in. That's exactly what he does in our everyday lives. He makes things look attractive. Now, what happened to him now? Okay, in verse 21, it says, "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield." with her flattering lips, she seduced him. And immediately he went after her. As the ox goes to the slaughter, or, these are examples of what happened, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as the bird hastens to the snare, he didn't know it would cost his life. That we get entangled in that today, people. We get so involved with things that look good, smell good, taste good, arms around us, hugging us, that we forget about what we're supposed to be doing. And it's easy to get into. And again, we talked about it in class a little bit this morning. You don't think you're tempted, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Because every day when we're out in that everyday world, we're being tempted. You don't think temptation sets in? Congregations across the world have a third of the people at night that they have in the morning. Why is that? It's a temptation to do something different. Well, God's, you know, this is more important today than God is. And we get tied up in that, and we get tied up in it because of what this story's telling us. It looks good to us. It smells good to us. It all the appearance of it is what we should be doing. And it's all because we have a devoid of understanding. We aren't grabbing a hold of that wisdom like a sister. We're not grabbing hold of that understanding as the nearest of kin. We just put it on the back burner. That's cool. I walk down, nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, here comes the snares of Satan. Now, it says in verse 23, he didn't know it would cost his life. People are unaware today that our dealings with Satan are going to cost our life spiritually. There is no gray area. We're going to heaven or we're going to Satan. We're going to go be with God the rest of our eternity after we pass this earth, or we're going to go spend it with Satan. Do you want fire and gnashing of teeth, or do you want a nice place? Now, that's the choice we have. And when we get in the snares of Satan and we do what this story is telling that happens, that's what's going to happen. It didn't know it was going to cost his life. Verse 24, now he gets back into instruction again. He says, now, you've heard the story. You've seen what happened to this guy. You've seen what happened with the Satan as he entices you. Now, therefore, listen to me. My children. Well, sometimes that's hard. We don't like to do that. We don't like someone telling us what to do. That's just human nature, right? But we have instruction from God that we better pay attention to, or it will cost us our life. Therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. There's nothing plainer in English than that. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't let Satan get involved in your life to the point you turn away to his ways. Do not stray into her paths. As you're strolling down the street, you're walking around outside, don't go where Satan's going to be. You know, we look at all of our, not all, but young people today that are in so much trouble with police and things that are going on. Just stay out of trouble. That's pretty simple, you would think. But Satan gets in these guys' lives, the young people's lives, whoever is causing the problem. And all of a sudden, there's major issues. And it's because they don't have the understanding. They're devoid of the understanding of what God wants done. Can you imagine how nice this world would be if everybody loved God instead of hating their neighbor? They would have a whole turnaround. And that's nothing more than Satan just creating turmoil. So pay attention. Listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, and do not stray into her path. Why? For she has cast down many wounded. Some have gotten out of the grasp. Some have found their way back to God. And all who were slain by her were strong men. We think we're strong. That's what's being talked about here. You get snared by Satan. You get off the path. You get over here. He took you away from God. You were a strong man. And this enticement, you were slain. You lost your life. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Quite a story. If you stop and think about, this is everyday life. This is what we run into every day we walk outside. And it's so easy to get led astray. I'm going to go back and read the first four or five verses, and then we'll close out. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commands within you. Don't feel like they're a burden. Treasure them. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin. And do all that because they keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Good story. I ran into this story when we were in Lincoln. I don't know, it's been 6, 7, 8 years ago. It was in class. And the guy that was teaching class was portraying the story just as a seducing woman. And I raised my hand. I said, let's flip the coin on this a little bit. And let's make this Satan and God and you and me. And let's talk about sin, because that's what it portrays. It's talking about getting seduced by Satan into sin. So with that, we'll issue an invitation. If there are those that need some prayers in their life, we would welcome you to make that made known. I think everyone here is baptized, but if you're listening on the internet, if you're out there yonder somewhere and have not been baptized, and you want further instruction, we're here for that. We'd be more than happy to work with you and study with you. And before I close out, I want to have a little sad note in my life today. One of my former classmates lost his wife today. They had only been married for 5 years, 6 years. And it was kind of like a newlywed kind of a marriage. They just really loved each other, and it was the center of his heart. And he's having a really, really tough time. And he's the guy I talked about in class this morning, really religious guy. And he's having a real hard time hanging on to his faith. And I'd like to look at that as an example for us, because there are times in our lives when it's really hard that we can hang on to our faith, that we can stay away from that seductress, because things look so good on the other side. With that, we'll stand and sing the invitation song.